El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
All right, welcome here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. It's a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't, so they do political talk. By the way, I just saw a interesting news item today. Radio revenue, that is the revenue, advertising revenue in the radio industry, is down. It is not, as a matter of fact, it has not hit the number that they thought it would. And why did they think that radio advertising was going to hit a higher number? Because they thought, stupidly, that all of this political talk was going to drive listeners and it was going to drive advertisers. Well, no, it hasn't, as I've been telling you. Number one, not because politics is necessarily boring, but because the people talking about the politics on the radio suck. You know.
Boy, here we go again. You're really going to endear yourself to the powers that be, aren't you?
Come on, Margaret. Can I finish?
Yeah, she's right.
Well, why am I not allowed to talk about this?
What is the point? You are really endearing yourself to the powers that be.
Let me ask you a question. Can I ask you something?
Yes. Go ahead.
If I say something that is very honest and people want to hear it, why would anybody who's involved in like selling advertising for my show be upset with that? But don't answer, because I know what you're going to say, because it probably won't get listeners and they'll be angry.
Well, isn't that what's happening?
I don't know what's happening. I really honestly don't know what's happening. Our business is so messed up. First of all, there's absolutely no, I mean, look, the radio business is on its last legs, in my opinion. But maybe it's not. But it is so jacked up that you don't even know what is going on with it anymore. You don't know because, A, even if you have people, like in our case, where we have people that are giving us money every month to buy a subscription to our website. Okay? So I know my radio show and what I do draws money, because I'm seeing it coming into my business. So don't tell me that that's the case where, well, the ad dollars, Phil, you know, on your show, I don't know. I can only make this assumption. If the ad dollars are not coming in, and I have no idea.
Well, certainly you'd see the numbers, wouldn't you?
I don't know. What do you mean I'd see the numbers? What do you mean? At the local level, maybe they're doing a certain amount of business. At the national level. But what I'm saying is, here's what I do know. I do know that my radio show and what we offer makes money, because every month I look at the merchant accounts that we have for the Phil Hendry Radio Show, the website, and all of the other business we do, and we've got money there, and we're making money. So, you know, I know that much. At least what I'm doing on behalf of me makes money. And we've actually been going up. Not going down. So now the question comes to me, and maybe it's a dumb question.
What do you mean you're making money?
What do you think that means?
Yeah, but I mean, when you say you're making money, are you making more money than you thought? Because what you said was on a target price.
All right, well, the economics in America being what it is today, this is the economic model that we work with now, which is the following thing. The geniuses that run the companies say, we should make this much money. And if they don't make that much money, if they only make this much money, they essentially feel as if they failed. CEOs get fired and people lose their jobs.
And that's because they haven't made as much money as they thought they would.
Exactly. This is the mental illness that they have, okay? So, all right, that's fine. They can do whatever the hell they want to do. But that drives a stock price lower. That causes panic on Wall Street. And what are all those brain surgeons getting panicked about? They're getting panicked about the fact that the company's making money, just not as much money as they think it ought to be making. And why do they think it ought to be making money? We don't know, because they might not be any brighter than a decapitated fly, for all we know.
Shut up, man.
I'm laughing. That's an honest laugh. That's not a fake laugh.
All right, okay. It sounded honest, sort of.
It sounded as if you were the village idiot.
Yeah, well...
Look, come on, Margaret.
I didn't use the word retard. I said village idiot.
Hey, by the way, what movie was the word retard used in?
The Hangover.
Oh, The Hangover used it. I saw that movie, and I don't recall it, but we claim ownership, copyright, infringement. I'm kidding. All right. So anyway, to make a long story short, yeah, the numbers came out this week on Radio Revit. Everybody was waiting for the radio industry to be making some money. It ain't making any money. And it's certainly not making the money that it ought to be making because, you know, all these geniuses want them to make money. Now, as the result, what they thought would happen, didn't happen. And that is the political talk thing. You know, it's always the same thing. They got to wait to fail before they're convinced that something's failing. So rather than tell them 3-4 years ago, as I was, as a lot of people were, hey, you know what, if you keep relying on this political talk, it's going to kill you. Because first of all, it's all conservative. There's very little. It's boring, man. I mean, it's, you know, how many times are you going to listen to a guy beat up on Obama? How many times? Even Facebook has given over to this stuff.
Well, why are you even on Facebook? Facebook, everyone knows Facebook is for... Well,
watch it, okay?
Watch what?
Watch what you say, all right?
She said, I know what you said today about a mental deficient.
I asked you not to...
Facebook is for who?
She said mental deficient.
Did I ask you? Who told you to say that?
Because we're on the radio and...
All right, okay. If she asked you not to say that, bud, you really shouldn't have said anything.
Well...
But now that he said it, did you really say that?
I said words to that effect.
So Facebook is for mental deficients.
I think so. I don't see anything intelligent over there.
Well, what you don't see over there is a lot of support for Obama. You know.
Well, but you see, that's the whole point. You're saying that people are not interested in politics, but I do see a lot of political commentary.
No, what you see are a lot of you see a lot of political commentary because a lot of the people that have friended me and follow me are people who, are, you know, they listen to talk radio. So their minds have been beaten into submission in a certain way, expecting a certain thing. They've got this talk radio mentality. So they think they've got to, like, yak about Obama. If you go over to Facebook, and I bet you if you took the totality of the people over there, political talk is probably a small segment of it. And it just so happens the people that are following me are conservatives because that's what talk radio is.
Well, that is true. That is true. That's why I don't listen to it. And as you know, I was a very big Air America fan. And
well, I'm a Randy Rhodes fan.
Yes, you are a Randy Rhodes. Randy is fantastic. I love her. And I like Stephanie. But I also like Tom Hartman. I also like the other ones.
Well, what other ones are there? What other liberal talk guys are there?
Oh, Ed, what's his name?
Ed Schultz. He sucks deer.
Yeah, he sucks on a deer, man.
He sucks on a deer. Do I have
to... Did you guys clean it up? He sucks a deer. Who, Ed Schultz?
Yeah, he's no good.
No, I think Ed Schultz is wonderful. And also, who's the other? Chris Matthews, I love him.
Well, he doesn't do a radio show. I'm just talking about radio.
Chris Matthews doesn't do a radio show.
No, not that I know of. I don't think so. He doesn't need to. Chris doesn't need to. You'll know that Chris is in big trouble when he takes on a radio show because that's generally... You know, when a guy needs the work. Television guys need the work.
Well, what about Bill O'Reilly?
Yeah, what about Bill O'Reilly? He didn't know no weed.
What did you just say?
Yeah, I didn't understand that.
I said Bill O'Reilly. Well, Bill O'Reilly.
Slow down, man.
Bill O'Reilly didn't need the work.
No, Bill O'Reilly took on that radio show of his because he wanted to knock off Rush. It was an ego trip for Bill. It was, folks. I mean, I hate to tell you, I hate to give you some inside baseball, but I'm laying it on you. It was a big fat ego run for Bill O'Reilly. He wanted to not. He wanted to be the man. He wanted to establish himself as the conservative, or if you will, independent thinking guy. And it just ain't. It didn't happen because Bill didn't have the radio skills to make it happen. You're talking about Rush. The reason why he's successful is not because he's a conservative. Well, that's a big part of it. But more to the point, it's because he is a skilled broadcast professional. He has the chops, as we say in the entertainment biz. See? So.
Why did you bend your head down to the left when you...
I just was emphasizing, you know.
Then like that guy I seen the other day on that TV video when Phil was looking on that Talk.
What was wrong with that man?
The lead singer of that group, well, we were looking at a video, Talk, the old group Talk, he was just bending. It's like, well, the way he sings, man, I thought you were a singer.
I am a singer, but I don't have to go through all of that gyration. I do a physical act, there's no question. But I've done, for instance, the cat crawl, and I've done the layback. I do a lot of moves.
I don't know any of these things, but...
But you said the labia.
No, she didn't.
You feel...
Bud, I'm sorry.
You know, she didn't say that. You either need to have your ears checked or you need to have your brain checked.
Or maybe what I ought to do is just go ahead and...
Yeah.
Watch it. All right, anyway, tonight on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, what's the batting order here, Robert?
I got it right here, man. I know we have... I know. Not Jay Santos. We had him on last night.
We've got a whole slew of guests, and I don't know where... We're going to have to get over to our homepage here and find out. Here it is. I got it. Tonight on the show, we are bringing on Pastor William Renick, Karen Deauville, and Dave Oliva talking about the issues of the day. I know Pastor Renick is probably going to be on here talking about the election, Romney, Obama, and the electability of both. And, of course, Pastor Renick always gives it a little bit of a moral and religious theme. Karen Deauville wants to talk with us about prison reform, that is, inmate reform. Her brother is in prison, not the guy that...
Is that the woman that calls... Oh.
Yeah, she's a nice lady. She's got a brother that's in, I think he's in Rayford Prison in Florida, and so we'll talk with her. And then more from Dave Oliva on law enforcement and his personal interest in the law enforcement career. It's all ahead and more here on the World Fam. Will we get an Iron Swine tonight?
Yeah, we'll do an Iron Swine, too.
So we're going to do another Iron Swine tonight with Bud and with Robert. It's all ahead and more here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Political talk, but we talk it gooder.
Truth than, you know. Is our yeah. bitch, the Phil
yeah.
Hendry Show.
We talk political stuff gooder than most of the talk. All right, folks, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I was just noticing some of the news stories. They just, you know, some of this...
You're talking about the little girl.
The New Jersey little girl's missing. Well, she's dead now. And there's only one thing that you can say, and it is good news, about this kind of crime, this type of crime that we have seen since time began, which is the random, what appears to be the random murder of especially children. But any kind of a random killing these killings that make their way into otherwise peaceful communities, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, you're talking about like in a white neighborhood.
Well, it's not about racism or anything.
I didn't say it was.
Well, you brought up a racial thing. Let me put it to you this way, Robert.
Well, what I'm saying is there's violence in a lot of communities that people are used to.
Robert's right, Phil.
No, you're right. You're right.
Oh, yeah. You always have to pander to him.
Hey, man, I know what I'm talking about. You don't know what you're talking about.
Hold on. He's right. There are communities where violence is a daily thing, and we probably don't notice it as much. In fact, I know we don't. There's communities where every day there's violence going on. There's communities where every day there's people at risk. Every single solitary day, trying to walk to school is a big thing. Trying to go to the store is an event. And when I say we, I'm talking about those of us who can live in the kind of a middle-class neighborhood. I'm not saying it's exclusively white, but I wouldn't doubt that it's probably, you know, for the most part.
Yeah, I mean, unless you're talking inner city, was all black.
All right, I mean, I'll grant you that. I guess what I mean to say is areas of our country, areas of our communities, whatever the color may be, where the daily occurrence of violence is not a common thing. And so, unfortunately, the way we all consume news, when the uncommon happens, we call that news.
When the uncommon... Let me write that down.
Are you making fun of me?
No, I think that's a very good...
When the uncommon happens... Say it again.
Yeah.
You guys are screwing with me.
Phil, I swear to God I'm not.
Yeah, I swear to God I'm not.
Bud, get out of here. When the uncommon happens, that's news.
Ha ha ha, I was just kidding.
Oh, get out of here, will you? Well, you guys are screwing around.
Yeah.
Phil, that's like saying time plus, tragedy plus time equals comedy. Oh, well, no kidding. Tell me something I don't know.
All right, but, you know... One of the things that I'm doing here, Margaret, is talking to my audience, not necessarily you. Now then, The this thing that happened to this family, okay, for all of its real-world brutality, a young girl strangled, her body stashed in a southern New Jersey trash bin. The deaths of Autumn Pasquale this week, the death of Autumn Pasquale this week, also cast a shadow in the virtual world that, after all, was where the residents of this small town, about 20 miles south of central Philadelphia, first went to organize their search for the missing girl, and where they later went after her body had been found to grieve on a Facebook page established in her memory. My heart and prayers go out to the family. It was also where the mother of the two teenage boys, eventually arrested in connection with her killing, gleaned the information that made her suspect their involvement. After that, as the impact of the tragedy spread with news conferences and candlelight vigils, it was where the victim's brother, A.J. Pasquale, turned to vent his rage at those accused of killing her. "I know you won't see this," the young man wrote on one of the suspect's Facebook pages, "but I'm just letting you know that I'm coming for next time I see your face or your brother." So, you know.
Well, that I don't think that that's a very wise post.
But I think there isn't a person in the country that doesn't understand that guy's rage, and I would feel the same way.
Well, yes, but that's a life that's going to be...
Just, you know, let's not judge him right now. Let us have that anger.
Well, what do you mean, let us have the anger?
Let us be angry. Let people be angry over the assault on this child, over the murder, these two scumbags. Okay? I mean, I don't want to hear about how, oh, that boy is this and that. You know, he's pissed off, his sister was killed, and he's pissed off. And I'm going to assume that he has adults in his life that don't want to see him going to jail, so he will be counseled properly. I'm probably making a big leap, or maybe not, but it's, at this particular point, let the family handle it. Autumn, who would have turned 13 next week, was reported missing at 9:30 on Saturday, several hours after hopping onto her white Odyssey BMX bike and pedaling from the home she shared with her father, her two siblings, and her father's girlfriend.
Well, you said girlfriend.
Yes, you were very judgmental there.
No, it just makes me sad, man. That's all. These busted up homes, this generation of parents. It makes me sad. You know, I wish there was more mom and dad houses, that's all. I mean, you know.
Well, Phil, people have to be happy. And if you want to do your thing, you know.
What does that mean?
I beg your pardon?
What does that mean, do your thing?
If I'm an adult and I am constrained and I feel suffocated by the relationship that I'm in. You know, I want to go and find a partner that I can do my thing and be who I am. You know.
Yeah, that's real groovy.
Don't be a smartass, Phil.
No, I'm not going to be a smartass, but, you know, if you've got children, your need for a groovy life,
I'm not Bobby Dooley, okay? I'm not saying... What I'm saying is, who are you to tell me that I don't have the right to express my... I'm a woman, and we need to express our womanness...
No. I mean, you know, you're now what you're doing is you're giving an excuse to men that run out on their kids, to men that don't have a responsibility. So, yeah, you're a woman that needs to express her grooviness, but you're the other side of the coin. There's men out there that gotta go off and be who they want to be, you know.
Wait a minute. Are you comparing me to men that desert their children?
I'm basically saying the following thing. You people with your selfish needs bother me.
You people. That is racist.
That's not racist, man. That would be if you're talking about a black people. What does that got to do with it? Because that's what it was.
All right, sorry. Look, you people is not necessarily racist.
You said to me, you people. What does that mean?
You selfish adults and parents.
Well, I'm very offended by that. I take care of my son. I'm saying that if...
Okay, if, but you're advocating on behalf of these people. You're advocating on behalf of these people. You're saying... That, well, if I was an adult that needed to do my thing, I think all of them ought to be put in a bus and pushed off a cliff. There, how do you feel about that?
Yay!
That was terribly irresponsible of you.
I like it, Mr. Henry. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That was, look at you, getting all your accolades from your, whatever you call these.
I got a great idea. Why don't you call them you people?
No, that's what you call me. That's what you call me. Empowered women who, yes, married men with money.
Oh, that's a minority group, all right. All right.
You know, I hate the fact that you're the host of the show and get the last word.
Yeah, I'll bet you do. Anyway, we will come back and talk a little bit more about this and talk a little bit more about that. Dave Oliva coming up to discuss his law enforcement lessons, some of the things that he's been learning lately in the realm of law enforcement. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about this case. Next on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Backstage pass. Don't forget, get one. Phil TV. It's a beautiful thing. Apple-friendly. Coming this week. Woo!
Phil Henry.
This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Anyway, getting back to this story, and just everybody keep it down here. So this was the thing that happened in New Jersey over the weekend. This child is abducted. She's on a bicycle. The brother goes on Facebook and starts to vent, and I don't blame him. Autumn would have turned 13 next week. She was reported missing at 9:30 on Saturday night. She was on her little white bicycle. On Sunday night, even as some of the searchers were returning empty-handed from their efforts, Justin Robinson, a 15-year-old Clayton High School football player, clicked the like button on the growing Find Autumn Pasquale Facebook page. Though thousands of people had at that point done the same, Justin was unusual. Within a few days, Autumn's bike would be found inside his home, and he'd be arrested with his older brother Dante, age 17. Both were charged as juveniles with first-degree murder. On Wednesday, Autumn's parents, Anthony Pascal and Jennifer Cornwell, said they were comforted by the huge display of support on social media, but were still trying to come to grips with the inalterable fact of their daughter's death. It's overwhelming, said the Mr. Pascal at the family's home. She was a good girl. She didn't deserve this. The Gloucester County Prosecutor's Office was saying little about the virtual note that caused Justin's mother to report her son to the authorities. Over the course of the search, Justin posted numerous messages online, one of which read, quote, might be moving, which he punctuated with a frowning emoticon. Bernie Weisenfeld, a spokesman for the prosecutor's office, declined to say whether this was the post that led to the boys' arrests. The Robinsons lived near the Pasquales. The Robinsons' yard was often littered with discarded bicycle parts, and local residents said the brothers were sometimes seen tossing a football behind their house or hang out after school in nearby supermarkets trading bike accessories. Dwayne LaCastro, age 15, was friends with Autumn for 3 years and also played football with Justin and Dante Clayton High. He said that when his bike was stolen 2 years ago, I went to Justin and went to his backyard and took it back. I knew he had it. He stood not far from the Robinson home on East Clayton Avenue. R.I.P. Autumn Pasquale was inked on his hand. No one answered the front door at the boys' home on Wednesday, and efforts to contact Alonzo Robinson, the boys' father, were also unsuccessful. At a news conference, the county prosecutor, Sean F. Dalton, said there was no evidence that Autumn had been sexually assaulted. He said Justin Robinson had lured the girl into the house under the pretense of trading bicycle parts. Autumn was, by all accounts, a bike aficionado. On her Facebook page, she wrote of herself, "I like to chill and ride my bike." Oh, man. I could just tell you this, man, that these are guys, these two kids are just the psychopaths, you know, and you hear me use this word, you know, and I can keep using this word over and over again, but I mean, what you have to do is understand what it is and recognize that, you know, they're out there. And these guys are sadistic psychopaths, which means they kill. And they kill a human being as easily, as I said, like as easily as you and I carve a freaking turkey. It's there's no emotion. They didn't I'm not trying to excuse them. I'm trying to get a handle on how we can find these people and stick them in a cage before they kill. That's what I think is the goal here. That the goal is find out who they are and somehow. Now I know you can't put somebody in a cage for no cause. You have to have a reason, you know. Well, they're stealing bikes. And I'm not saying you're going to put a guy in jail for the rest of his life. One of the things, though, if we become more enlightened as people, and you identify people. What, you know, if you want to get right down to it, how good are we at recognizing the people around us, man? I mean, you know, how good are we at looking around us? Have you ever done this? I do this all the time. I'm sitting in a restaurant, and I just wonder, when I look at everybody in the restaurant, are there any people here, for instance, that are just that close to snapping and opening fire, let's say? I take a look at everybody. And I'm not saying that they're there. I just wonder. And I wonder, are there people here that are actively hallucinating? Are there people here that are schizophrenic and are just holding it in, holding it together? Are there people here? How many people here are psychopaths and sociopaths who put on that real friendly face? Hey, how you doing? Yeah, great. That's fantastic. And they're sizing you up as a piece of prey. That's all. Not because they want to kill you necessarily, but because you look like a bunch of chump change that they may be able to sell something to. They may be able to steal something from. They may be able to get you to do something for them. That's the only thought that any kind of a sociopath has. Now, people will say to me this. They go, oh, Phil, you're always using these words, you know, like some dumbass, if you want to talk about Facebook, if you want to go to the capital of stupid sometimes, it's got to be Facebook. I'm not saying all the time, but, you know, you're going to find some real idiots. I was talking about this right after that Aurora, Colorado thing. And, you know, there's all kinds of brain surgeons. I said, well, this guy in Aurora, because I was just speculating. And I said, the guy in Aurora strikes me as a psychotic because he's got the weird hair. And not only that, but he looks like he's catatonic. He looks completely out of it. His reasons are really bizarre, giving that Joker thing. He sounds psychotic, okay? And he didn't kill himself. That's something that a psychopath does. That's an ultimate ego trip. I'm going to take away from you the judgment. I'm going to keep the judgment, reserve the judgment for myself. I will decide where I die and how. I will die by my own hand. Like that piece of garbage that did that neo-Nazi that killed those people at the Sikh temple. That guy was pure psychopath. So anyway, I ask myself these questions. Now, it's just the beginning. I don't know the answer, and I can't walk up to people and say, you're under arrest because I think you happen to be a psychopath that may kill somebody sometime in the future. I can't do that, but it's an exercise that I think everybody should engage in. What am I looking at? Who the hell is this person exactly? Just because somebody's nice to you, the first thing we think when someone's nice to us, if you are a normal human being, is, oh, wow, this person's really nice. We never, ever ask ourselves, is there some kind of a motive behind this? You don't have to be cynical about it. You don't have to say, oh, you know, I don't trust people. You just say, well, I wonder if there's something that is behind this. You know, and you always get these clues, too. You always get tipped off as to a person's, as to the state of mind of somebody. I mentioned on the air the other day, if somebody shows you something and they think it's really funny, and to you and to most normal people, it would be absolutely horrific. Like, for instance, someone showed me the picture of the man in Miami who had his face gnawed off. I saw this picture of this poor man in the hospital after his face had been gnawed off. Some ass on Facebook, in fact, posted it with the line, too soon. And anybody that thinks that's funny is an abnormal person. I'm not even going to say they've got a problem, like, because I'm not going to waste my time with somebody like that saying, oh, wow. They have a problem, they should see a psychiatrist. No, they don't know they have a problem. They think they're normal, and they think everybody else thinks that's pretty funny, looking at this guy's face that was not off. Anybody that thinks that's funny is abnormal. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, there's no cure. There's no drug for that. You can't go to a doctor and get... If you think that picture's funny, I'm just telling you right now, I already got you figured out. I don't give a damn whether you get cured. I don't give a damn what happens to you. All I know is that when I see you again, and I know it's you, I know what I'm dealing with. That's all. So,
what's that mean?
It means I keep my eye on somebody like that. I don't necessarily hurt them. I don't do anything. I just keep an eye on someone like that. This is someone that thinks that picture of that man was funny. That's abnormal.
Well, you're not saying they can be cured.
No, they cannot be cured. They cannot be cured. That sociopathy and being and psychopathy cannot be cured. It can only be It can be caged. It can be contained. It can be dealt with. It can be recognized, and it can be quarantined, but you can't cure it. You'll never cure it. And that's why I am an advocate of the death penalty for people like that, because I'd rather just take the garbage out, you know.
Well, that is very...
Okay, Margaret, you go ahead and you have all the milk. You go ahead and have a nice Christian soul about the whole thing, because that guy just as soon cut you up and leave you for, you know...
Yeah, like a movie, cut his filthy throat and throw him in the desert for buzzard meat.
Yeah, cut the gutter filthy throat and throw in the desert for buzzard meat.
That's pretty good. Give me five.
You guys stop it with the gimme five. That's what I'm saying. See? So if you recognize someone like that, you don't go, oh, you got a problem. I wouldn't say that. I'd say, hey, how you doing?
Yeah, what would you say to someone like that?
I'd say, wow, that's, you know, I don't know that I'd say anything. I would notice their reaction, because there's nothing you're going to say to them that's going to make them better. If you say to somebody like that, wow, I don't think that's funny at all, then you mark yourself as dishonest. A psychopath thinks that you're just being dishonest, because they think everybody thinks the way they think. You know, they think, oh, yeah, bull crap. Everybody knows, you know. So they'll either think that you're lying, or you're some kind of a weak-minded slob that they can really mess with you. You know, if you don't give them any information, they have no idea what you are. And, you know, you're a very dangerous thing to a psychopath, that when they can't figure you out. And one of the things about those people is they never plan very well. That's why they increasingly are getting caught. As forensics and police, you know, procedures get better and better, these slobs get caught very, very quickly, because their egos are out of control. They think they're smarter than everybody else. They think that they can't get caught. And when they do, and they're completely, even the organized ones are stupid. You know, like that. What was that one guy that we were looking on the TV the other day? You know?
Oh, I know what it was. The guy put her body she put her husband's body in a bin and just stuck it out in the desert.
I remember that. That was, oh my God.
Yeah, this woman kills her husband, cuts him up, sticks the torso. They haven't found the guy's head or his arms, but she stuck the torso in one of those big plastic laundry things and covered it with a tarp and set it out in the desert. That's the end of that. You know.
She didn't think she'd get caught?
No, she didn't think she'd get caught. She's thinking the following. Well, he's on a business trip, and, you know, they'll think that he got killed. They'll never identify, you know, this. You know, the body will finally be caught by buzzards and squirrels or whatever. Or who cares, because she's just, I mean, I'm telling you, I'm just smart, and I know that, you know, it won't happen. Then when she finally did get caught, she tried to hang it on the boyfriend she was seeing. She tried to say to the prosecutor, well, my husband came home and this boyfriend I had, this guy she was having sex with while her husband's out of town, they had a confrontation and it was a terrible accident. You know who this woman is.
Is she the one that does the videotapes from prison?
Yes.
Oh, God.
Yeah, she does those videotapes. She cries into the camera. Oh, yeah, man, you're really feeling bad for her. Baby, nobody's buying you your act, okay? Anybody that does, they're probably next, you know?
Yeah, anybody buy any guy to buy that.
She was a former stripper or something, right? And she's, you know, okay looking for, I don't know, 60. But anyway, any guy that buys into that, dude, she's looking at you. Like, remember those old cartoons where the coyote would look at the Roadrunner, would turn into a roasted coyote, a roasted Roadrunner?
Yeah, with all the fixings.
Yeah, it'd look like he pulled it out of an oven.
Right, that's what you look like to her. She just looks at a guy and he's got an apple in his mouth on a serving tray. So there you go. That's Phil's lesson in crime. We'll get Dave Olive up here in our next segment to talk a little bit more about it here. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. What am I doing with this picture of myself? I'm sorry, guys. You weren't able to look at my own face emoting?
You're not that good-looking, Phil.
No. Anyway, we'll be back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
I might try that as an experiment, you know? Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. And, of course, we're online at philhenryshow.com. philhenryshow.com is this news. I mean, you got to deal with it. It's wickedly bad news. The little girl in New Jersey, and, you know, people asking, well, what happened? I mean, that's as simple as it can be, you know? And when I say simple, I don't mean simple as in it can be easily solved. And I'm certainly not, trying to, you know, say that. I'm not advocating some jive ass, you know, with all due respect, Margaret, I'm not advocating some jive ass, we need to understand them, because folks, this is something that is in the blood. It's in the biochemistry. Dave Oliva joining us here. Dave, you are you're studying law enforcement at L.A. Canyon College, right?
Yes, sir, Mr. Henry. Yes, right. You know, with an eye towards becoming police officers.
So eventually, when you do graduate from L.A. Canyon College, are you going on to a four-year degree?
Yes, sir. I would like to go on and get a degree, like a four-year degree in, like, the technical degree you can get is in criminal justice. But I would like to take more like sociology and...
Okay, but the criminal justice degree is the one?
Oh, yes, sir. That's the one that you do need to get your... to qualify, for instance, to be FBI, you know, qualified. In other words, to be FBI certified, you've got to be, you have to go to get the criminal justice degree. It's like... you've got to be certified. It's not just, you know, to go to school.
Okay, I know, I understand that, but I mean, to be certified, the FBI has a school.
Yes, sir.
And the LAPD does. That's your main interest, right?
Yes, sir. LAPD is right now my primary goal, to become a police officer at LAPD, because I do like the idea of community policing, and I like the idea of municipal policing, and being a part of that. And I tell you, Mr. Henry, when I hear the story about this this little girl, you know, I can't tell you what that makes me feel, you know, but hopefully to become a police officer, you know, I can stop something like that happening, you know.
Do you think, when you heard me talking about these cases, is there anything about this that you say to yourself, you know, I've got some ideas?
Well, I mean, you know, I got a few ideas on what you could do. I don't want to talk about this case specifically because...
No, and I don't either. Let's just talk in general terms about, you know, policing a neighborhood.
In terms of...
In terms of identifying who these predators may be.
Well, you know, I've got my own thing, you know, that I'm kind of working on behind the scenes, you know, as I study and as I learn what society expects from a police officer, and what you know, like the LAPD might expect, or if I want to go to FBI, what they might expect. Okay, there's that, right? But I got my own, you know, sort of ways that I don't want to necessarily divulge, you know.
What I mean, what does that mean exactly?
Well, I mean, I think everybody that becomes a police officer looks at how criminals get away with, you know, there's certain crimes, you know, that you see. And you think, you know, that boy, I'll tell you, if that happened to me or to happen to a person who's, you know, like a relative of mine, I'd really want to get some serious payback, you know. But I'm a police officer, so I can't do that, you know. So there's just little things, you know, that you do, you know, that...
Like what?
Well, I mean, I don't want to divulge it because this is it's like I call my stash.
Well, all right. Let me throw something at you here, okay?
I mean, I've got my own ideas. I don't need no ideas, you know.
No, I'm not talking about ideas. I want to throw something at you in terms of if you, the way my audience may think, if you are hiding what you call your stash, what when you say your stash,
I'm just talking about like little police techniques that I alone know
that you would employ.
Yeah, that I would. If it came to it, you know, if it come down to it, you know, that little police ideas that I would have, that I would employ, you know, if it come down to it.
If it comes down to it, all right. And I ask you what those would be, and you don't want to tell me.
No, it's not because of anything personal, Mr. Henry.
No, I know that.
It's just that I'm, you know, that's my stash. You know, it's kind of my. It's what I'm. You know, it's my. It's my own personal, like, little bag of tricks, you know?
Okay. So here's what I wanted to say to you, Dave. If someone's listening and they hear me ask you, well, give me an example, and you say, I don't want to divulge that, the first thing that a person thinks is what you want to do is illegal.
No, sir. That's absolutely not true, sir.
Okay, so what is in your bag of tricks, as you call it, Dave?
Right.
Is not illegal.
No, sir. It's not illegal in the way that you're thinking. I mean,
I'm thinking of illegal being illegal. Is it illegal?
No, it's not illegal. No. The things that I want to do?
Well, when you say the things you want to do, if you're not even a police officer yet.
That's correct. No, I have to finish up. I want to finish out my 2-year, my AA degree, you know, my Associate of Arts degree. Then I go to LAPD Training Academy, and also I'm still going to school.
So you will continue your education after becoming a police officer?
Yes, sir.
Okay, which a lot of police officers do. Now,
Well, I a lot do, but a lot of them drop out because it's very difficult, you know, and I don't know how many. I mean, I think I would be in kind of exclusive company, you know.
Well, I really don't know, but I do know that there are police officers that are continuing their education. So I wanted to ask you this. I asked you the question. You got this bag of tricks, as you call them.
Well, I don't want to call it a bag of tricks. You know, it's like my stash of police techniques, you know, that I have.
Okay. And you said to me they're not illegal.
No, they're not illegal. You sort of got me.
Well, no, that's the part that's bothering me. You're saying, no, not in the way I'm thinking. When I'm thinking of illegal, I mean illegal.
That's correct, yeah.
Okay, is any of these... Okay, we got to take a break. We'll be right back. Can you hang on, Dave?
Yeah, I can hang on. I mean, if you want me to tell you now...
No, we're taking a break.
I'm sorry?
We're taking a break. We're going into a commercial break.
Does that mean that I'm not talking now, or...
Phil Hendry. Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We've done a little preliminary. I guess you might say we've done a pre-interview with Dave Oliva. And Dave is a student of criminal justice, taking various studies having to do with law enforcement at Canyon College in Northern L.A. County. And he's joining us online here. We spent a fair part of last hour talking about a terrible, terrible crime in New Jersey. This child that was abducted and murdered by two, what I think, are psychopathic brothers who killed this kid just for bicycle parts. Dave is online with us. And I was talking, Dave, to Dan and to you during the break about, you know, and I was also talking really to the audience about how do we become more aware of these psychopaths among us, you know?
Well, excuse me, yes, sir. First of all, Mr. Henry, it's unusual for me to... I mean, I don't do a lot of radio interviews. You know, I know I've been on your program before, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't do a lot of radio, so it's unusual for me to... I'm kind of jumping at the bit. You know, I've got a lot of information here, and I was wondering if it was better for me to just... when you are ready to talk, for you to just introduce me, and I can just go ahead and start to tell you what I know instead of waiting for you to. It sounds to me, and I, if I'm overstepping my bounds, please, sir, tell me. It sounds to me like you're not really sure with the subject matter, and like you're kind of...
No, I'm aware of the subject matter.
Okay, because it just sounds to me like you're trying to figure out, like, what question should I ask? I don't really know.
No, sir. I'm totally familiar with this. I'm not as familiar with it as a police officer. I just want to set... I'm setting it up for my audience.
Right. No, I know that. But, I mean, I could do that probably way better, you know?
Okay. But I have to tell you, Dave, I'm the host of the show. There's a certain thing the audience expectation has. The audience has an expectation of me being the host, you know?
No, yes, sir. I understand that. Okay, so let me run with what you gave me. It's not really a lot.
Well, I haven't asked my question yet.
Okay. I'm sorry. I apologize, sir. Go ahead.
Okay. So here's my question. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm...
I'm sorry, sir. It was difficult because your car... I know you're in transit. My question is this. As a police officer, as one who is not only there to preserve... not only there to arrest bad guys, to put perpetrators in jail, but you're also there to sort of prevent crime... How would you, how would you identify this kind of predatory psychopath in your midst?
Okay, boy, that was a long, long way to run for just that. And that's a good question, you know, but that's what I meant. You could have just, like, right away, however you do it. Hi, I'm Phil Henry. How do you recognize a psychopath in your midst? And then I could take it from there, you know?
Okay, that's great, Dave, and I got that, and thank you very much. But I'm going to kind of do it the way I'm doing it right now, if only because my audience has a certain expectation, you know?
Yeah, I know, but you, okay. I mean, you already said that.
Yes, I did say that, and I may be repeating myself, and that's something that we'll just have to deal with.
Okay, so I mean, I'm sorry, Mr. Henry, I didn't mean to...
No, it's fine, but let's forget all about formatics and who's asking the questions and how long it's taking, and let's just get into it, okay?
Yes, sir, okay. Okay, now I feel stupid. I forgot your question.
Okay, my question is, how would you, as a police officer, recognize the psychopath among us?
Okay, thank you, Mr. Henry. That's a great question. As a police officer, unfortunately, Mr. Henry, as you just said, I can't really arrest someone who has not perpetrated a crime. The tragedy of psychopath and the sociopath is that most of the time when you are interdicting the activities of a psychopath is after they have commissioned or perpetrated a crime. So how does one, as a police officer, and one may even ask this question of a citizen, how does one, stop a psychopath before they commission or, if you will, perpetrate or, if you will,
commit a crime, right?
Well, yeah.
But that's what you're trying to say?
Yeah, but you interrupted me here. Okay, yeah, commit a crime, right. For those of you who got confused, if you got confused by Mr. Henry Button.
Dave, I'm sorry, but we got to move it along. I'm just, so before they commit a crime.
Yeah, but I mean, you just, like, made people go boost heat. I was talking, you see?
And all right, I'll let you go ahead and talk. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. All right, what I would do is I would, first of all, you're on patrol. That's a very standard thing for a uniformed police officer to be on patrol. In today's modern society, police officers use what we call our cruiser, our radio car. That's a police officer's best friend, is the cruiser, the radio car. There's also one other item that is a police officer's best friend. Well, his radio is also his best friend, his computer. But the real best friend of a police officer is two best friends, really. There's the taser, and there is the PR-24 or the billy stick, depending upon which agency you work for. Now, I want to just be clear. I'm not advocating using tools, you know, using this part of a police officer's, accessories. I'm not advocating doing anything that anybody is going to be all getting crazy about. If I have someone who I know is a psychopath, let's say, or someone that I think is capable, I would do the following. You cruise by, you roll the window down, you sit lower. Excuse me, Mr. Ernie, and to your audience, too, excuse me. I just had to clear my throat.
That's okay. You need some water?
No, sir, I'm fine, thank you. You roll down the window, you lower yourself in the seat so that only the neck and head are visible. So now you're lowered down in the seat. You also, sunglasses are a police officer's best friend. So you have on your sunglasses. So you have, like, three best friends, or if you, you know... Anyway, it's getting confusing. So you lower yourself way down in the seat. So the only thing that's visible is what I call you become the head. Okay, Mr. Henry?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You're now just the head. And the perpetrator or the potential psychopath or the potential sociopathic perpetrator only sees you, and you raise up the left hand, which is the one that is not on the wheel, and you motion him over using a term like, hey, homeboy, some kind of a street term, which he will then identify you as a police officer what has some street savvy. So you say, hey, homeboy, or homes, or, you know, hey, good looking, or caballero. You can say a lot of cousin. A lot of things you say is cousin. You know, say, hey, cousin, come here. And, you know what I'm saying?
Okay, so now I've got you. You talk about me taking up too much time, you know.
Well, Mr. Henry, I'm a police officer. Well, I'm not a police officer now, but someday I will be. So what I'm saying is vital.
As opposed to what I was saying was nothing?
Well, I mean, Mr. Henry, please don't go on an ego trip, you know.
No, I'm not on an ego trip. I just... So far, I've gotten this much from you.
Can I continue, Mr. Henry? If you recap, it just takes up too much time.
That's a good point.
Okay, go ahead.
I mean, I know what your ego...
My ego is not suffering. I just go ahead.
Okay, when they come over, you raise up to show that there's a lot more to you than just the head, which I'm, you know, obviously he thinks there is, but you haven't just seen it. You have not shown nothing except the head. Now you raise up, you open up the car door, you step out and you say, hey, cousin, get some ID ready. Now he's like, you know, what's up? And so he looks for the ID. Now here's where you say, turn around, I want to look at the ID, put your hands on top of the car. Because again, you have the right to stop and to question him. And this is where my bag of tricks comes in, what I call a Dave Oliva bag of tricks, or I call it Felix, because Felix the Cat had a bag of tricks, right, Mr. Henry?
Yeah, I think I... Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, you know about Felix the Cat, right?
Yes, sir, I do, and he had a bag of tricks.
Well, I'm getting the feeling it's not turning you on.
No, it's interesting, but I got to take a break now, I'm sorry. Okay?
Well, okay, so Felix...
Hold on for just a minute there, Dave.
Well, I find it very interesting. You look disturbed.
Well, okay, you're ahead. Now you're ahead, and I get that you're ahead.
Yeah, but it's just a show. You're not showing nothing.
Yeah, you're keeping your hand, you know, keeping your cards close to the vest.
What?
He's pulling over a guy. He's stopping a guy to ask for ID. Why do you got to be just ahead and, hey, cousin, I don't know.
Well, it sounds like it's street lingo or street savviness, or I don't know how they say it.
Yeah, he's trying to be street, you know, use the language of the street.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
Why are you laughing? No,
Phil
now
Henry
you're laughing.
Show.
Why are you laughing?
The whole thing with the head, man. Okay, and I do have a couple of more guests to come on tonight. That's the other thing.
All right, but I was told that I, you know, would be like a featured guest or something like that.
Not a featured guest, sir. Okay, we're back on the air. Dave Oliva is with us here, and Dave is a law enforcement, he's a student of criminal justice at L.A. Canyon College. He's also an aspiring police officer. So we're talking about here what police officers can do, and really, to some extent, what citizens can do to identify, and this is a very specific thing, to identify psychopaths, dangerous psychopaths. If they haven't committed a crime, you cannot arrest them. But like the two boys in New Jersey who I feel, and this is not a, you know, I'm not a cop, okay, and I'm not a psychiatrist, so I could be very wrong, but when you kill someone for their bicycle, when you kill someone so you can have parts to sell and trade, you're basically saying, oh, this person here is in my way, I'll kill them, and then I'll have the bicycle and the parts to trade. So you're getting rid of a human life the same way you'd get rid of garbage. And it isn't a matter of a decision. Well, you know what? I'm talking too much.
Yes, sir, you are. I mean...
Okay, I'm sorry. You know, okay, so you said that you would then... Okay, where were we?
Okay, I got to start all over again.
We can't start all over again.
Can I say something to Dave?
Who are you?
My name is Margaret Gray.
This is Margaret. You haven't heard her?
Well, yeah, I heard her, but I mean, now all of a sudden you're...
Well, I want to say something to you. You are not being very... I think you're being insulting. I also think...
Ma'am, do you know about how to be like a police officer, or...
No, this has got nothing to do with that. You're talking down to Phil. You're not being responsive to his questions. You're not being very informative. I've been listening to you talking for 45 minutes... And you haven't said a thing.
Wow. Wow. I mean, Mr. Henry, you have no comment about that?
What do you want me to do?
Well, I mean...
You want Phil to come in and defend you or something?
wow, man. No, but I mean, the woman is talking to me like this, and you say nothing? And
I don't need to be, excuse me, but you don't need to be defended. You can speak for yourself.
Well, ma'am, first of all, you know, I am taught not to be disrespectful to a lady, you know, and I don't want to be, but you're, like Mr. Henry says, you know, you really want $300 worth, don't you?
What does that mean?
Hold, just never mind it, you know. Dave, forget about Margaret.
No, I am making a comment. Excuse me.
Wow, and you let her talk to you like that?
Dave, let me ask you something, okay?
Phil, I'm making the comment. Now, you address yourself to me, Mr. Oliver or Oliva.
My name is Oliva.
All right. Address yourself to me and also answer my question. What are you talking about?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Well, listen to him. He's apoplectic.
Dave, what's wrong?
Well, I mean, you're letting her. You know what, Mr. Henry? I'm afraid at this time I will now have to leave the airwave of your station.
Good.
Okay.
Well, don't wave your hand. That, he was a waste of time.
Yeah, that's probably better to...
Well, why don't you let me handle it, though? I might have been able to get some information out of him.
And how long is that going to take? I had to take charge.
Yeah, I got it. Yay! Way to go. Yeah, I got to admit, Phil.
Well, thank you very much, Margaret. You know, but still in all, the guy's my guest.
Well, you are getting no information from this man. He's sitting there saying that he's ahead.
He called back.
He called back? Put him back on.
No, don't put that man back on.
Margaret, don't tell me how to do the show. Put him back on.
I'm going to the toilet.
Yeah, please, go to the toilet.
Well, what does that mean, please go to the toilet? You don't have a peephole, do you?
What?
Well, why are you suddenly, oh, it's okay with you? If you have a peephole in there...
We don't have no peephole.
I didn't ask you.
Margaret, look at me. Do I have time to go and peep at you in the bathroom?
All right, well, I'll be back.
Just take your time. God.
Yeah, but she was right.
Get this guy back on, will you? Dave?
Yes, sir. I want to make a statement, Mr. Henry.
No. You're not making any statement. You want to come back on and talk, you can talk. You're not making any statement. Okay? By the way, the Beverly Hills police officer that we were talking about, the Beverly Hills police officer...
Yeah, that's what I want to make a statement about, Mr. Henry, because that's what this Margaret Gray, she's like Zsa Zsa Gabor, you know, when she slapped the police officer.
Right, the police officer by the name, his name was Paul Kramer, and this was something that happened back in the late 80s, early, I think it was the late 80s. Zsa Zsa Gabor was stopped for some traffic infraction.
And you should tell people who Zsa Zsa Gabor, if you're not going to let me talk, at least let me guide you and direct you on how to talk about it. You know?
I think I know this part, man.
Well, I mean, I'm the aspiring police officer. Okay, never mind. Well, okay, see, right there, when I have a suspect, he goes, shoo, man, that's when I get out the bag of tricks.
That's when you get out your bag of tricks?
That you get out, Felix?
Yeah, that's right.
When you have a suspect that is simply exasperated?
When a suspect, especially a young one, but any suspect really, is going to go like that, that's when I use, which actually is a legal restraining move, I take one of their fingers and I bend it back, okay? And
okay, that's illegal because that's police torture.
Hold on, Mr. Henry. It is not police torture when I say to them, okay, I need to put the cuffs on. Oh, I'm sorry, I bent your finger back. And they're like, ow, you know, and you go, well, you know, you sort of didn't turn your wrist.
No, that's police torture. You are doing that on purpose.
No, I'm not. And
yeah, you are. You just said you bend the finger back. Then you just said a guy go whoosh like that.
Okay.
Yes, you did, man. Don't start squirreling out of it now. You just got done saying that if somebody goes, shoo, that you'd bend their finger back. Which sounds about like the most childish thing.
Really? Really, Mr. Henry? That's like a martial arts move.
It's a martial arts move, huh? How do you bend the finger back?
You bend it back. What do you mean? I mean, you grab their hand, you bend it back. You go, yeah. You go, okay. And you ask them, okay, are you going to stop? Quit it, you know, or something like that.
Okay, so you grab their hand, you bend their finger back, this big martial arts move, and you say, are you going to stop? Quit it. So in other words, you're a six-year-old boy in the back seat with your sister on a long car trip.
What? What is that?
That's what it sounds like, man. It sounds like you're a little kid.
Yeah, that dad would do that.
I used to do that to my kid sister. Okay? I used to just, you know, bend her finger back or do stuff like that.
Well, I mean, maybe you should have gone into law enforcement. I mean, what are you laughing at, man?
That sounds retarded, you stupid idiot. You sound like a stupid idiot.
Hey, man, okay, that, if, oh, boy, you know.
Okay, what would you do if he was, you just pulled him over?
Okay, the first thing I would do to you is I would say, okay, do you want to take that back?
All of the stuff you're telling us, Dave, is not anywhere near what police officers do.
Excuse me, Mr. Henry, are you taking criminal justice in the criminal justice system of the L.A. Canyon College? No.
Yeah, but are you taking criminal justice? Better question.
Yeah, no kidding. Good question. Are you taking it, or are you just telling people?
No, hey, man, you want to talk to my professor, Professor Smarlin, who is my professor?
Okay, yeah, I would like to talk to him.
Okay, I could get him, or, well, I could get Professor Clayton, too, you know?
No, listen, I'd like to talk to whoever is teaching you this class and find out what kind of a student you are.
Well, I mean, right now, I missed one of the exams. Okay, I mean, I...
Get out of here, will you? You're bugging me, man, with your freaking hemming and hawing.
Man, I got, you know, bend back a finger.
Bending back the finger and saying, are you going to quit? That stuff is all illegal. And especially when you sort of entrap or otherwise try to make it seem cool, like, oh, wow, did I bend your finger back? I was simply trying to get the handcuffs on you. You know, I hate that kind of, I hate even talking to a guy that is talking like that, because we support the police on the Phil Henry Show. We support them 150%. I am not out there looking, you know, I'm not one of these jackasses that is looking for some cop to run afoul of the law so they can have their little citizens review. You know, they see these asses on YouTube.
Yeah, they'll go out with a video camera.
Yeah. All right, we'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show. We have Karen Deauville and Pastor William Rennick coming up as well here when we come back. The world famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. And look for our quote of the day on Facebook, by the way.
Yeah, that's funny when it's getting watermelon.
What?
Yeah, man, spit it out, man.
I did.
I'm back from the
Phil
toilet.
Phil Henry.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Thank you very much, Dave Oliva. I'm sorry that we eventually did cut you off, Dave, if you're out there. But next time you're on the show, would you do me a big fat favor? Let me conduct the interview, and please don't, you know, tell me how it is, man. And don't tell me that when you're bending a guy's finger back and saying, do you give, that's some kind of police technique.
Yeah, that's the police torture.
Well... Sure, it's torture bending your finger back.
It is, man.
Well, can you, like, did they do that in the days of the medieval days? You know, we're going to bend your finger back if you don't admit that you're a devil.
No, they didn't bend your finger back. They did horrible things back then. But the fact of the matter remains, don't tell me the guy's bending a guy's finger back and saying, oh, well, that's just a police technique. He's trying to exact some kind of compliance by way of pain.
Yeah, but they say cops can do that.
If they've got you under arrest for something. Not if they just pull you over to say, hey, can I get some ID out? Oh, wow, I mistakenly bent your finger back. You know.
Maybe they did.
Dude, just don't go there, okay? You guys. All right, Karen Deauville is joining us. Karen, a longtime listener of ours and a very sweet lady, and we love having her on the show. And we do appreciate the support that Karen affords us. And Karen, how are you doing tonight? How's the family?
Oh, Phil, look. First of all, I should ask you the thing. You are such a blessing, and we enjoy you every night. And Jerry is here, my brother-in-law, and my husband Herb is here. And I do want to talk to you. Excuse me, I'm getting so choked up.
Come on, get a water.
Do you need some water, hon?
I do, Phil, I do. Can you believe it? Jerry,
Yeah, I'm going to get her.
Oh, Phil, I'm so sorry. I am so sorry.
No, it's okay. It happens.
I all of a sudden got... Oh, okay. Phil, first of all, just please allow me these few seconds to say how much we love your show. Okay, can I have that?
Yes, you can, dear. You're always very kind.
Oh, you don't know the good you do. You just don't know the good you do. All right. We are having our first annual, family support for my brother. Billy has, yes, you're right, Phil, he's institutionalized in southern Georgia.
And where is he?
Billy is right now, he's institutionalized at Vidalia. It's the Vidalia work camp in southern Georgia. And he has been a part of the institution now.
So when you get back, can I interrupt you here, Karen?
Okay, go ahead. Usually I don't like people interrupting me, but you, Phil... We just are so grateful to you, you know.
Well, you don't let the man talk and say today.
I'm letting him talk, Jerry. Oh, God. Herb is sitting here laughing. Do you love this, Herb? I'm talking to Phil Henry.
Okay, that's great, Karen. Let me ask you something. When you say institutionalized, for the purposes of my audience, they may think he's in a psychiatric.
Oh, no. He's institutionalized. That means he's in the Vidalia work camp. And...
Hey,
I'll
tell he's in prison.
Okay, Jerry. My brother-in-law is so funny.
All right, but this is your blood brother, Billy.
Yes, Billy William. William James. And I remember my mother said that he was not named after the philosopher because they didn't really know who that was. But in later years, she started to claim that he was. And I said, well, who's William James? And she said, I don't know.
William James was a writer, a British writer of great note. And philosopher, and,
See, Phil, you're the man that I should have come to and said, who is William J.
You know all that. Yeah.
Herb's laughing, and Jerry, shh, hush. Phil, we're having our first annual family weekend, family support weekend at Vidalia Work Camp in Georgia. My brother, Billy, is an inmate there, an institutionalized inmate there.
Now, can I ask you a question?
Yeah, I know what you're going to ask. I told you he's going to ask. What are you going to ask?
What's he in for?
See, bingo. Bingo, Herb, you went. My husband, he's just sitting there grinning from ear to ear. You love the fact I'm talking to Phil Henry, don't you? Don't you? He loves it. And you're right, you won the bet, Herb. Herb won the bet.
Okay, all right, and Herb won the bet was what?
That you would ask me, what is Billy? Okay, it's a long story, if I can tell you. All right. My brother Billy is the sweetest man you would ever know.
Okay.
He is, Phil, he would give you the shirt off his back. Am I, Jerry and Herb, with a, you, right, Jerry?
Yeah, you're about my man, my man.
And Herb, you know, Herb's still smiling. I just love my husband so much. He just is a smiling man. Look at how wonderful you are. And he had a heart attack.
Okay, can we just, I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. So, my brother is Billy. He's institutionalized at the Vidalia Work Camp, state of Georgia. He is the sweetest man that...
Okay, Karen, I'm sorry.
Am I talking too much? Herb, you're right. Herb wins that bet, too. He said that I'm going to be talking too much, but you get angry.
I'm not angry, dear. I'm not angry. If you could... I'd love to hear about your brother, Billy, and I think my audience would, too, because the family support weekend, you know...
Yeah, it's to support our family members that are institutionalized. It's to support our family members. Some of them we may never see again. You know, Phil... And so,
all right, I understand. So your brother, can you tell me what the crime was for?
Okay, I really wish I had a little bit of time to explain, but I'll go ahead and I'll tell you. It is...
Go ahead and tell the man, and you explain later.
What, Herb? What, honey? Yeah, Herb says I... Okay.
Was that Herb?
No, that's my brother-in-law, Jerry. Jerry...
Hello, Mr. Henry. How are you?
I'm doing good, Jerry.
Jerry loves you. Jerry, we all love you. Even Boo-Boo loves you. That's my little kitty cat. Don't you love Phil Henry? Your face is... Do you love...
Okay, Karen, I need to...
Okay, so, my brother Billy... God bless him.
What is the crime, Karen? What is he in... Why is he in the work camp?
Okay. Oh, I feel like whispering it like Margaret does. Is Margaret there? Can I talk to her?
No, not yet.
Dear, this is Margaret, but we want to know what the crime is.
he is there now, they say it was second-degree murder. But if I can just say one thing.
Okay.
It was manslaughter, and that's what we are trying to get the judge to see, and that's what we're trying to get his lawyer to see. Because the second-degree murder, it was...
Did he kill somebody in the commission of a crime? Because I think I...
There was a robbery that Billy was in the car. He had nothing to do with the robbery. He was in the car. He was, in fact, Jerry, you said it. How does a man kill another man when he's eating boiled peanuts, right?
Yeah, that's impossible.
Is that right, Herc? How do you kill another man when your hands are filled with boiled peanuts? You know, so I will never believe that about my brother. I will never believe that about my brother.
And all right, so your brother was eating boiled peanuts, but somehow, what happened? There was a did they rob a store?
No, his friends did. Now, we're talking about, no, Jerry. We're talking about Clay and we're talking about Clay and Russell. These are two guys that he was working with. I didn't like either one of them. They stopped at a store, and as I said, Billy is eating the boiled peanuts, and he was going to call me, and he realized he didn't have a cell phone. In fact, he didn't even know what a cell phone was. And I told the judge that when they had the character witness, you know, the character witness thing.
Well, what sentence has he been given?
Well, he has a 20-year sentence, but. As they say, the real answer comes after the butt, because I listened to that shitty dip film. Hold on, Phil. Do you want some food? Jerry, would you feed the cat, please?
Come on, baby. Look
at it. Give him the whiskers. The whiskers.
No.
Friskies. I'm sorry. The Friskies. Phil, is there a whiskers?
I don't know. I'm trying to get to the story of Billy.
Oh, sorry. Phil Henry's getting mad. Okay.
I'm not mad.
I know you're not. You are the sweetest man, Phil. You know, I listen to you on your show every night. Do you know that?
I do, and I appreciate that, yes.
Mr. Henry is showing a great deal of patience.
And who am I speaking with?
This is Margaret Gray.
Oh, well. How lucky for you.
Mr. Henry is showing a lot of patience with you, Karen. Would you please get to the point of why your brother is in this work camp?
Of course.
Margaret, I'll do it.
I didn't call to... I don't remember calling to talk to you, but that's okay.
Well, I'm trying to speak for him because he's far too polite.
I'll handle it, Margaret.
You were right about that. Phil is a very polite man. Okay. He is in for 20 years, but we are with the judge now, and we're trying to get it knocked down to the manslaughter, because when he went into the store, and he thought his friend was being attacked, because the store man, who I still think was a customer, I don't think he owned the store, he claimed he owned the store, and that's what he testified to, had a gun, and so my brother shot him. And I don't understand what he did wrong. You don't understand, Jerry. This is my baby brother.
Okay, Karen, let me just... Your brother came into the store. Your brother had a gun.
He had Clay's gun. It was not his gun, Phil. Phil Henry. He had Clay's gun.
He had Clay's gun, which Clay had left in the car.
Yes. Clay had Russell's gun. I don't know whose gun was whose, but it was not his gun.
Okay, so these two guys went into that store armed.
Yes. That's what I said to the judge. Yes. You know, what did they say? Fry him, cook him, burn him?
Yeah, go ahead, burn him.
I said burn these two. You don't burn my baby brother.
Well, your baby brother didn't get free. He got second-degree murder. He got a 20-year sentence. And now he is looking to get it reduced to manslaughter. I guess he's hoping for a new trial is what it's going to take, right?
Yes, Phil, I knew you'd understand. Oh, thank God. I talked to so many stupid people. Yes, he needs a new trial. We're looking for some evidence. There was a lady that was there. And Billy said to me he knows for certain there was a lady there who saw when Billy came into the store, he had a can of boiled peanuts, and he was trying to bait that hook, right?
Yeah, don't tell that.
He was trying to bait a hook with salmon eggs, and he was trying to bait a hook with salmon eggs and, oh, cheese. And so Billy said to the judge, how can I come into the store with a gun if I'm baiting a hook with salmon, eggs, and cheese, and I'm eating boiled peanuts?
But somehow he did have a gun.
Yes, when he saw his friend being attacked.
His friend was being shot at by the store owner.
He didn't know that. Oh, God.
Okay. Well, can I just tell you this, hon? I want to promote your family day at the family day.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be family day, Phil. We're all going to be out there with arts and crafts. And I'm bringing my tri-tip, okay?
Well, I can't wait for that. You've never had
really... Oh, Jerry, stop it, Jerry. Everyone's going to think that I'm Chef whatever that guy. Who's the guy that you like, Phil?
I like the guy from New York. I forget his name now.
Oh, that guy. Oh, I love him. You don't know his name?
I forget his name. The guy, the redheaded guy. Bobby something.
Well, I got to... Go get his cookbook out.
No, wait, okay, I'm going to have to take a break here. I got to take a break. Karen, number one, I want to say this. Good luck with the new trial.
Well, if we can find that lady, that's why I'm on your show. I want to know if there's a lady who was in the Vidalia Quick Stop in 2005, and you witnessed the shooting, and you said my brother Billy had boiled peanuts, and he was and you said you thought it looked to you like my brother Billy was defending his friend who was being shot at by the store owner, yes, but still, it's got to be against... I mean...
Wait, does this woman know that the store was being robbed?
She knew, but she didn't think my brother was robbing it. She saw the store owner, and she knew the store owner was defending himself and his store. But Phil Hendry, who I listen to every night...
okay, I got to get going. Karen, good luck. The family day...
Okay, the family day is this weekend, and everybody come on out and support. If you have an institutionalized relative, even if they're in for murder, and also violent offenders, the violent offenders sequestered unit, the segregated unit, I want everyone to know that we'll be over there, too. And I'll have my crumb cake and...
Okay, we had to... I'm sorry, Karen, I had to break you off.
That woman, is she for real? I can't believe that. You were very patient with her.
Yeah, but Phil's just trying to give her a chance to talk about a brother.
Her brother sounds like a hardcore felon.
Boy, Margaret, you know, for the liberal, you're kind of,
For the liberal what? Yes, I am liberal. I protect our artists. And you are one of our artists. And you were being harangued, and you were being talked to death by that motor mouth... I'm sorry, that redneck.
Well, you know, that's not very kind. All right, she's a very nice lady.
She's an ego case, Phil. Don't you know when someone's using you? A moment ago, you were talking about how...
I gotta take a break. Do you mind?
Go ahead, take your break.
We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We've got coming up, Pastor William Renick is also going to be on the show next hour.
Whew. Truth is our bitch.
You're talking about psychopaths.
The Phil Hendry Show.
Don't you see when someone is putting you up in a flat job?
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Here is a story from Oregon, where our close personal friend Mr. Northcraft is right now. A confrontation outside a Southern Oregon Planned Parenthood Health Center on Tuesday ended with a protester stabbing another man. Good God, this was in Grants Pass, Oregon. Earlier in the day, a woman argued with a demonstrator outside the health center. She returned later with a man who then attacked the protester, Grants Pass Police Lieutenant Dennis Ward said. The man was stabbed multiple times in the abdomen, at least once in the neck. There was no immediate word on his condition. The demonstrator had signs denouncing abortion and Planned Parenthood, but Planned Parenthood for Southwestern Oregon spokeswoman Sarah Mosley said the clinic only provides health services and does not perform abortions. So there's the brain surgery that goes into somebody's... And I'm sorry, folks, I just come right out and tell you, I mean, I am a pro-choice voter. I'm not a woman. So it's, you know, I'm never going to have to deal with any of that.
Well, what about a significant woman in your life?
That will be her choice.
Good answer.
Man, you, Mr. Henry, I know you, she makes you look bad.
Yeah, look, don't, Margaret, try to make me look like I'm, you know, following your lead.
I just said good answer.
Okay, great, fine, you know.
Yeah, it looks like she's gonna kick your ass if you don't. It makes you look like a baby.
I'm not a baby. I've been talking this. Anyway. So, you know, this is the brain surgery of some jackballer standing out there. Or maybe that was his one chance to protest abortion. I don't know what the story is. Nonetheless, you're standing out there, dude. They don't perform abortions. But maybe it was his way of saying Planned Parenthood sucks no matter where they are. And that's where that's at. We don't have a lot of details. It appears to be a tragic situation. Our thoughts are with the people who have been injured and their loved ones. Now, this guy was stabbed multiple times. There's nothing here that says the man died. It says that a woman argued with the demonstrator. She later returned with a man who attacked this protester. The man was stabbed multiple times in the abdomen, at least once in the neck. There was no immediate word on his condition. Now, this sounds like the kind of guy who, the guy that pulled this knife on this protester, I don't know how aware that guy is of the issue. He sounds like some slob that probably solves problems this way. That is, if he gets into a, you know, altercation with somebody, out comes the knife. And guys that immediately produce knives in fights generally have had mucho experience with police, being arrested, going to jail, getting sprung, you know, posting bail, all this stuff.
Why you say that?
Because I think that any time you pull a knife on someone, even if it isn't your fault, even if you're defending yourself and you're going to stab a guy, you're going to go down to the police station, have to explain yourself, probably going to get arrested. And it's just a big, big, long freaking, you know, night for you. If you're indeed, if it was self-defense. Now, according to the details of this, and this was a statement from Planned Parenthood. It was a tragic situation. Our thoughts are with the people who've been injured and their loved ones. Police handcuffed the protester who had blood on his clothing. The Grants Pass Daily Courier reported the protester was being detained during the investigation. The protester.
Well, it doesn't sound like he was hurt at all.
Well, if they had, I don't know, he might have been handcuffed on a gurney for all I know. Police handcuffed the protester who had blood on his clothing. So I don't know how many times the guy was stabbed, and maybe the guy was cut as opposed to...
Yeah, like that rebel without a cause, there ain't no sticking, just a little bit of jabbing.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever. They did not release the names of either man. Neighbor Charlotte Cook said the protester would accost people coming and going through the area. It was an accident looking for a place to happen. Absolutely. But I cannot, you know, I can't condone attacking a guy that way.
Yes, but Phil, you know those people want a confrontation.
And I say don't give them one. Now, that lady, you remember the lady? Here's one that pissed me off. The woman that went out to Palm Springs, she had a big cross, a crucifix, and she walked right smack dab into the middle of a gay rights protest or a gay rights demonstration of some kind. I think it had to do with boycotting a business out there. She knew exactly what she was doing. She was intending to incite. And to be perfectly honest with you, I think she could have been arrested or should have been arrested for an attempt at inciting a riot. Walking into the middle of a gay rights protest with a cross...
Well, what are you saying, man? Gay people don't believe in Jesus?
No. I'm not saying that at all. That cross, which used to be a symbol for Jesus Christ's sacrifice on this earth for the sins of man, has been co-opted by hateful people to now mean we don't like gays.
Oh, man, you're going to get in trouble for that one.
Phil, you really are going to get in some trouble.
Well, I mean, I'm telling you, that's the facts, Jack. That's the facts, Jack. That cross has been taken by anti-gay people, and it no longer means Jesus died for us. It means we don't like gay people. They have destroyed what was once a beloved, and God knows there have been many before them that have tried to destroy it, the Klan, the Nazis. You know, whoever else. But, all right, we're coming back. Pastor William Renick will give us a little more on this when we come back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
I don't even... Not even Pastor Renick could get you out of this one.
Oh, what am I into here, okay?
You're going to get in trouble and everything with the Jesus.
Right.
Phil Henry.
Shores of El Pacifico. Bill Henry.
Out of place with this stuff.
Yeah, you'll get in trouble.
I won't get in trouble. It's a one-time use thing. Welcome back, world famous Phil Henry Show. I'm always getting in trouble here, folks. Every time you have your radio on and we come back, there's Bud telling me I'm in trouble for something. What am I in trouble for? I'm not in trouble for anything. Welcome back to our program, the world famous Phil Henry Show, online at philhenryshow.com as well. If you get a backstage pass to our website, which is a very affordable, marvelous little thing to have, why, that backstage pass takes you to almost 5,000 hours of great original radio programming, our radio show, going back well over a decade, many generations of our show, all kinds of record-breaking and trend-setting and monumental and historic radio. And and we continue to do that. Listen to this show we're doing tonight. You probably don't even know what the hell it is you're listening to. If you're a first time listener, you have no. You're it's you know it's
that ain't good.
It ain't good, man. But in any event, go to our website. You'll also get video archives over there. You will also have available very shortly to you who are iPhone and iPad users, on demand for your iPhone and iPad, our video casts, which we're doing right now. So the next morning or the next day or whatever, yeah, because we're on late at night, and I recognize that. But if you're driving around, hey, I want to check out and see Phil's video cast from last night. Boom, you bring it up on your iPhone. That's right. That's right. So that's just one of many cool things that we have ahead for you as a Backstage Pass holder as well as a Phil Hendry Show listener. Join us at Facebook, at facebook.com/PhilHendryFans, PHANS. You can check out there our quote, our show quote of the day. Which was it today? Margaret, you know?
I don't want to do. I think it's asinine.
Whoa.
Well, man, what, are you too good for it?
Yeah, you're too good.
No, I'm not too good. I've been singled out on that quote of the day, and I don't like it.
Well, Margaret, it's funny stuff.
Oh, it's funny stuff, huh?
Yeah, the day you said that ain't cucumber sauce is pretty damn funny.
I was talking about the Greek that I had had an affair with.
We know.
Who's we, Phil?
Me, my listeners, everybody within thousands of every that it's a famous bit. Okay, and you were talking about you were having an affair.
Yes, and it was terribly exciting, the fact that he was making...
You said it was terribly exciting and he's making love to you while he's eating a sandwich.
Yeah, what kind of sandwich was it? Was it a cucumber sandwich and everything?
What a... You are almost an un... You are unrecognizable as a human. What's so funny?
Unrecognizable as a human?
What did I do?
I don't know. You know what, bud? You missed your calling as a gargoyle. Thank you. I'm going to the toilet.
That's the second time she's going to the toilet.
Oh, is it the second time? I'll tell you this now. If there's a peephole that you've drilled in a wall there, I won't go to my husband who's a lawyer. I'll kill you. All three of you.
Whoa.
Nothing less, man.
I mean...
She'll kill all three of us. So, what did she say? She said she had, it was terribly exciting, the guy was making love to her with a sandwich, and, okay, so anyway, Margaret was featured on our quote of the day, which was, that ain't cucumber sauce. We've had a lot of great quotes. The quote of today is, I'll read it, I'll do it.
I don't mind doing it.
All right, what is it?
It's from Chris Norton, then I do the splits over a watermelon.
I thought it was pretty good.
Chris Norton, he was describing some sex dance he does, right?
Yeah.
And the climax to this sex dance, if you'll pardon the expression, is him doing the splits over an open watermelon. So there you go. All right, 877-876-7445 is the number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And every night, as I say, we're online at philhendryshow.com. So grab yourself a backstage pass and have yourself just a barrel of laughs. Pastor William Rennick is joining us now from Bellflower at Joyful Union Congregation at his home there with his wife, Claire. It's always good to talk to you, Pastor. How are you?
I'm doing very good, and I appreciate you having me on your program. I was very much missing talking to you.
I've been missing talking to you, and the question that has arisen here over the last few minutes or, you know, several minutes... was this idea of the crucifix, and really we were talking about inciting people. This man was standing outside of a Planned Parenthood clinic in Grants Pass, Oregon, and by all accounts, and these are witnesses who are speaking to the police, he was constantly yelling at people going in and out. He was yelling at obscenities at women. I'm not justifying the fact that he was attacked. Did you read this story?
No, I did not see this story. This is a man, this Planned Parenthood, this is an anti-abortion man.
Yeah.
All right.
By the way, maybe I, as a pastor, I'm going to have to assume, are you pro-life?
I'm not going to say.
Why not? You, Pastor, this is Bud Dickman.
I don't care who's, I'm not going to say. I'm not going to get hooked into that. My job is to preach the word, the witness. The word of Jesus Christ, that is the Son of God. You understand?
Yes.
All right. Now, there ain't nothing I've ever read where Jesus specifically addresses the issue of a pregnancy, of an unplanned knowledge, and having a baby and so on and so forth. I've never heard. I only express the word of Jesus Christ.
All right.
You know what I mean, right?
Well, yeah.
All right.
All right, Pat.
Now, hold on. You asked me to come on your show to talk about it. I tell people what Jesus said. Now, if I don't have, if someone said to me, well, Pastor, I don't understand that Jesus, I said, you know, are you an idiot? Are you an idiot? I say to them, what did Jesus say?
About abortion?
Well, what am I doing? Why did you bring me on here to talk about spitting on the sidewalk? Yes, abortion.
Well, Pastor, what are you all upset about?
Because it's late. You drag me out of bed. I'm getting ready to go to sleep. I'm reading a Kindle book. All right, I'm having a good time. I'm reading that, and I also downloaded that David Lee Roth podcast. And you call me up and say, will you come on and talk about all this? I'm happy to talk about it, okay, but I'm in my pajamas. My wife is sitting here. She's having a cup of tea. She's got her glasses on. And all of a sudden, I'm...
Well, if I'm bugging you, I'll let you go.
No. It's all right. It's okay. And
what do you mean you downloaded the David Lee Roth podcast?
I just got the Roth show, okay? I'm chilling for the night. I got all my little podcasts here. I got my books, all this, and here comes Phil Henry. And you want me to, all right, fine. I got to do it my way, right? Remember that song by Sammy Davis Jr.? Whether I'm right, whether I'm wrong, whether I find a place to not, never be glory, never be gone, never be glory. What was that?
I'll never be glory, whether I find a place to never belong.
No, he said, whether I'm right, whether I'm wrong, whether I find a place in the world never belong, I got to be me.
Well, Pastor, the song goes...
Oh, here we go. She's going to sing.
Oh, well, I'm so sorry.
No, hold off, Margaret. Will you? Pastor Renick, all I'm asking you is this. I don't want to ask you whether abortion is against God's word.
Oh, thank God. Why didn't you say so?
Because you wouldn't let me get a word in.
Am I doing some kind of a comedy routine? That's the standard reply that you give when you're doing one of them one-man stand-up comedy deals. Say, well, why didn't you say so? You never asked. You know that? How to do that?
Yeah. There's a lot of comedy acts that go like that.
Yeah, but you know what I'm talking about, see? The dumbest guy there, he know what I'm talking about. All right. So, go ahead. What do you want to ask me?
Thank you for giving me a chance. What I wanted to ask you...
Well, I'm sorry I didn't give you a chance, Phil. I'm sitting here. My wife got a tea. She got...
Yeah, no. You got your David Lee Roth podcast. So anyway, you I've got you on the air because I want to ask you about the provocation of standing there and in the name of God provoking people, trying to provoke people into arguments. And then I mentioned the lady that had the large crucifix walked right into the middle of an anti-gay, very, very emotional protest. It had to do with boycotting a store, and everybody there was extremely hot under the collar. She walked into that crowd with a large crucifix, knowing full well that she was going to cause if not a riot, a lot of anger, because that cross has come to represent something to the gay community, which is basically, gay, go home, we don't like you.
Well, Philip, if that's the case,
right. Okay.
Then I don't want to know, see, you just, got to, you let me, the way I preach is like, I got timing, you know. If that's the case, how many times do I do it?
You did it 3 times. 4.
Hold on, Phil. If that's the case, I need to do it 4 times. And
well, what did I do?
Oh, you did it again.
You know, everybody's upset with me for interrupting them tonight.
All right, well, don't get upset with me now. I'll say that if that's the case, I'll cut out all if that's the case. I'll get right to the punchline here. Then I have to tell you, Phil, we have failed as Christians. Failed! We failed. If that is true, if gay people, gay man, gay lady, gay, what have you, if the people of the gay community now see the crucifix, the cross, whatever you want to call it, I know you Catholic, you call crucifix. And
No, it's a cross.
All right. What's crucifix?
That's the Catholic with the Jesus hanging off the cross.
Right, okay. If that's the case, Phil, then we have got to go back and start all over again because that cross, that symbol of Jesus, and the love he had for mankind, that he would give his life. Gave his life! You understand what I'm saying? The man gave his life! For the whole human race. And all the whole human race is doing what? Oh, well, I tell you what we're doing. Downloading the David Lee Roth podcast. That I'm doing that. My wife's sitting here. You know, I'm out getting my car washed. What the whole human race doing? Going bowling? What do you call it? Playing on a video game? going on, look at football. This weekend, everybody go see football, right, Phil? You like the football, right?
Yep.
Okay. And meanwhile, Jesus is hanging on the cross, dying. He's dying. I'm watching football. And now people take that cross, they say, guess what this means? It don't mean that Jesus is hanging on the cross saving mankind. It means that we hate gay people.
A lot of those people would say that is
Whoa, sunshine. I'm not done yet. We hate gay people. I know what you're going to say. A lot of those people would say, no, we hate this. We hate the sin. We love the sinner. Anytime you show that cross to someone and they perceive it to mean gay go home or gay out or no gay, anything you want to say, because I talk to gay people all the time. I feel like I've got gay members of my congregation. And I had a cross. They said, I can't come into that church, Pastor, because I know what that cross means. It means gay go home. Okay? It means gay out. You know, there ain't no gay in. It's a gay out. And I said, well, not in this church, it ain't.
Well, you're to be commended.
Not in this church, it ain't. So I would say to all my Christian brothers and sisters, I'd say, look, our job is to bring that cross to anyone, and when they see it, they feel sustenance. They feel saved. They feel that there's a new day. It's a
better day.
What's that?
Better day.
My wife, Claire. What's Claire?
It's a better day.
I can't hear you.
She said better day.
Oh, better day. A better day. Yeah, it's a better day for you and me. See? And so that's what I'd say, Phil.
All right. Well, I'm sorry I bothered you, Pastor.
Bother me, but just, you know, give me a heads up, will you? What if I shouldn't say, but I mean, you know, in the name of God, and I love God and Jesus, but what if I'm having, you know, I should think, what if I'm having sex with my wife? And I'd love it on my wife.
Oh, that is absolutely terrible. You apologize that man, right?
I didn't say nothing graphic. I said, what if Phil Henry called me up, and you and I are in the middle of enjoying our marriage and our wedded bliss, and now you call me up, what am I supposed to say to my wife?
Don't answer the phone. How about that?
No, I mean, what am I supposed to say to my wife after I answer the phone?
All right, thanks so much. Got to take a break. 3 minutes late.
That man needs help.
You haven't approved of one guest we've had tonight, have you?
Yeah, you're complaining about everybody, Dave Oliver.
Dave Oliver.
All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. What
Truth
if I called him up and we were having
bitch.
Sex?
The Phil Henry Show.
Oh, wow, we were just listening to a KGFJ, because we were talking about KGFJ. I don't know when our conversation is on the air, when it's off the air. Were we on the air with this?
I don't know. I don't know whether you, because Dan Northcraft should keep notes and tell you, Dan, this is Margaret. Were you on the air talking about KFJ or whatever it is?
Dan just said no, we weren't.
Okay, so then...
What, so then we can talk about it?
Then I would think it's appropriate, but... This entire show has been confusing to me because you've allowed yourself to be verbally abused. And by the way, that's something else. The song, is Pastor Rennick still there?
No, he's gone. We hung up on him.
Why did you... He's a Christian...
So what if he's a Christian? He wanted us to hang up on him. He's laying there reading his books and listening to his David Lee Roth podcast.
David Lee Roth podcast. Oh, God. The song goes like this. Bert Benundren, could you please give me a C chord?
You don't have any accompanist here, Margaret.
Oh, sorry. Okay. It goes like this. Whether I'm right. See, what I'm doing, Phil. Oh, well, excuse me. Aren't you just put upon?
No, I just, you know, you have. I like to listen to you sing. I would like for once to hear you just sing the song.
Yeah, sing the way it's supposed to, and not like you're all, like you got brain damage.
I there are days, Bud, when I look at you and I see a grave marker, because I know you don't have long. I know you don't have long. I know I don't have to worry, because I know you'll run afoul of the wrong person.
Well, now, come on, Miss Gregg. You know I like you, but ain't nobody gonna hurt my little buddy here.
Yeah, you tell him.
Oh, get a load of...
Well, are you going to call him an Uncle Tom?
Hey, man.
Come on now.
No, I... Well...
Oh, you were, huh?
No. I thought it was a little of Mice and Menish, though, and I thought that Robert was beginning to fit the part of George, but...
Well, come on, will you? Sing your song.
I will not sing it with that kind of a lead-in.
Here is Margaret Gray to sing in her own inimitable way. What?
I've gotta be me.
I'm sorry.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I was an interpretive singer, for those of you who are new to the program. What that means is I added interpretive and jazz, Bud and Robert stylings. I added a certain kind of improvisational feel. Many people have compared what I do to Kate Bush. Some have compared what I do to John Cage. These were rather progressive, non-traditional artists. And then if you go to the early part of the 20th century...
Please, would you come on?
I'm sorry. Okay, here we go. Sammy Davis Jr. originally did this song. I thought it was written by Paul Anka, but because he wrote everything that those people did. And by those people, I mean singers, not black ones. This is called... I don't know whether I'm right or whether I'm wrong. Here it is.
I Gotta Be Me.
What?
It's called I Gotta Be Me.
Yeah, called I Gotta Be Me.
Well, what's whether I'm right or wrong?
It's the first lines of the song.
Oh, okay. One, two, three. One, two, three.
Oh, God.
Two, three. Ooh, yeah. All right, I won't do the sexualization. You don't like it.
No, I don't. I don't. It's...
Well, don't get all grossed out, Phil. God.
Okay.
Okay, one, two. Ooh, woo! Whether I'm right or whether I'm wrong, whether I find a place in this world or never be long. Bow, bow, I've got to be me. Woo, I've got to be me. Yeah, man. Whatever, you see, and it goes like that. What?
It went from bad to freaking weird.
How dare you sit there and say, get my husband on the phone, please.
Oh, what are we going to do? What's Frank going to do, sue me?
No, I want a little moral support.
But well, great, that wasn't bad, but you went and started doing all that, you know, hey, man, you know.
It's not racial.
No, but I mean, Margaret... You know, you got a beautiful voice. You obviously can hit the notes. What is up with all of this, you know, yeah, hey, man?
Oh, you're upset because that's the second time I've broke. It is a scat styling.
Okay, it's a scat styling, but for I don't think it fits.
Got Frank Gray, line two, pick up.
Oh, well, yes, sir, Mr. Dickman.
Pick up, line two.
Why are you doing that?
Because I heard that they do that at a professional companies and stuff. Pick up, line, Mr. Henry, pick up, line two.
Yeah, okay, bud. They do that when they have an intercom system and there's guys 85 miles away that they need to talk to, okay?
What's that mean?
When they got a big... Frank, is that you?
I've been waiting. You didn't even have to pick up because I was on he or she. I don't know. Who? I thought it was Margaret that answered the phone. Did he put me on...
No, it was Bud.
All right, well, she opened the lineup.
Okay.
Frank, it's Margaret. I'm singing Sammy's song. I've got it. We knew Sammy. Okay.
Oh, yeah, I knew her.
You knew Sammy Davis Jr.?
Oh, yeah, I did legal work for her. Wonderful, wonderful, and pound for pound, the greatest entertainer I think I've ever met, Sammy Davis Jr.
All right, when we come back, Margaret's going to sing...
Yeah, Whether I'm Right or Whether I'm Wrong, is that the name of it?
No, I Gotta Be Me.
That's the name. I never did know the name of it. I thought it was Whether I'm Right or Whether I'm... Whether she's right or whether someone was right, I don't know.
All right, we'll be right back with Margaret singing Whether I'm Right or Whether I'm Wrong.
It's called I Gotta Be Me. That's what you just said.
Okay, yeah. I don't want to do it wrong.
Well, don't be such a baby, Phil. Stick up for yourself. It's called Whether I'm Right or Whether He's Wrong.
Phil and
she was right. Call it that.
But I wanted to do that.
Okay, well, Margaret's going to sing, and welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Margaret Gray is with us on the line from their home in Santa Monica as Margaret's husband, entertainment attorney. longtime TV producer, in, you know, semi-retirement. Frank, I guess you'll never really retire, though, huh?
No, you don't ever really retire, Bill, because you've always got a client. But I was telling, talking to the kid there, the one that's got the brain malady, the Bud Dickman.
Yeah, Bud.
Yes.
I was saying to her that Sammy Davis Jr. was pound for pound the greatest entertainer that I ever in my life knew. And, yeah, a lot of people like give you an example. Margaret, what the...
Frank, you compared him to Michael Jackson.
Yes, exactly. Michael Jackson was an extension for me of Sammy Jr. Or Dave. Or, sorry, Sammy.
Sammy Davis Jr.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, well, what I'm going to do, Frank, is I want to do my version, you know, the version C from the Hellenic presentation.
Of whether I've got to be me.
No, I've got to be me, whether I'm right, you know, parenthetically, whether I'm right or whether I'm wrong. I've got to be me, whether I'm right or whether I'm wrong.
Right.
No, that's not how it goes. It's I whether I'm right or whether I'm wrong, I got to be me. Not that it's a big deal.
Well, just do it.
Yes, can I sing it?
Go ahead.
God.
It doesn't matter, but this is from Margaret's one-woman show, and he does... Have you seen his one-woman show?
No, I haven't.
Well, I'll tell you, you've never seen a one-woman show until you've seen his.
Okay.
What's she laughing at?
Frank, I told you, you have the gender confusion. People laugh behind your back.
So she's laughing behind my back, huh?
Frank, you can talk to me directly. It's very funny when you confuse gender.
I'm not aware of it.
I understand that. I understand. All right, Margaret, here we go. Margaret Gray singing, I Gotta Be Me.
Thank you very much, Phil. I dedicate this to Sammy. Whether I'm right, whether I'm wrong, whether I find a place in this world or never belong. Ooh, gotta be me. Got to be me. Yeah, what else can I be? But what I am, really, Frank, what I am.
Hit it.
I'll go it alone. If that's how it must be, I can't be right for somebody else if I'm not right for me, Frank.
You know it.
I'm gonna be me. You know what? I think I'll be me. The dream that I see makes me what I am. That far away is not a world outside there. Is waiting for me. Oh, God. Ah!
What the hell?
Frank, move the tent. I will settle down. You've got to move that coffee table. I will settle for less. As long as there's a chance, but I'll go it alone. That's right. If that's how it must be, it doesn't matter, Frank. I can't be right for you, Frank. You know, if I'm not right for me.
You said a mouthful, honey.
So I've got to be me. I've got to be. Kill the music.
You were doing fantastic, baby.
Kill the music, Phil. Kill the music, Phil. Get... Oh.
What the hell happened?
Is this a nail gun? What is this?
Oh, sorry. It's a stapler.
I ought to kick his ass.
Okay, whoa. What happened?
I hit my big moment, and I sat down right on that stapler.
Oh, you took one off the cheek?
Yes, I did. Well, do you have to... What a slob, Frank.
Well, it sounded to me when you screamed. I said, I'll bet you I know anything because I know what happened. I know my wife's scream when she takes one off the...
Off the buttocks?
How dare you?
I'm sorry.
Yes, you're right. When she takes... Usually it's my teeth. And...
Okay, thanks a lot, Frank. It's been nice talking to you.
Wait a minute. I wanted to explain the time.
Well, at least you can let him get out that... It's an interesting anecdote, and...
I don't want to hear it, Margaret, okay? About him biting your buttocks.
Well, he didn't bite it that time. It was a stapler that this one left on the seat.
Well, I'm sorry about that. That was quite a dramatic rendition.
Yes, you'll notice my touch. My touch was the recitation, so that I have these very soaring vocalizations, which I'm noted for, as you know, and as you've all been very unkind.
No, wait. I want to say something, Margaret. You have a lovely voice, okay?
Thank you.
And I'm sorry. I don't mean to be unkind. I think sometimes you do more than you need to, you know?
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. You do more than you need to.
Oh, that's a good way of putting it, huh?
Bud, will you shut up, man?
I mean, so that's what it is. So you're just humoring me, huh?
No, we're not humoring. I'm just saying you don't have to do so much because it's a lovely, you know, song and you have a lovely voice. But the recitation's kind of cute. You know.
What do you mean, cute? What the hell do you think this is? Some recital for a fourth grader? I was singing a song that means a lot to people. Doesn't mean that much to me, but it means a lot to people. And
well, why do you sing it, then?
Because I can sing it. I don't know.
Doesn't mean anything to you?
Not really.
So when you get to that part, I've got to be right for you, Frank.
I don't know. Just something I thought to do.
You don't feel anything?
No, of course I don't feel anything. Why would I feel something? I've been married to Frank for so long. It's, you know, I don't have to be right for myself. What? I don't even relate to those lyrics. That's some 1960s freedom ode that has absolutely no place in modern society. Thank you. I'm Margaret Gray, going to the toilet.
And why are you always going to the toilet?
Because I'm uncomfortable with this conversation, Phil. Hint, hint.
Well,
I guess you're getting too much in a fire out about, you know, song and everything.
What?
The find out song. What are you talking about? No, you understand it, man. I said, I better not say.
Yeah, don't say it. This is exactly where you start bringing in stuff that gets him pissed off. Don't. Well, anyway, I thought it was a pretty cool song. Hey, I gotta find out something. Somebody's gotta help me. What is this ad, International Dating?
Yeah, I don't know what it is either.
What is this? AnastasiaGlobal.com. This is about as bizarre a thing as I've... No other international dating site comes close. Are you trying to tell me that a guy logs on 40-minute free call? So are you telling me that this has got a market?
Yeah, well, it looks like it might be.
Do you... Either one of you guys do it?
Do what?
Do you log on to this Anastasia Dial Global thing?
No, man, I don't even know what you thought. I've seen a commercial.
Yeah. Are you betting... Margaret...
Yes, I heard you talking in the bathroom because I heard the overhead and I had to wipe quickly and come back in. So, because I want to make a comment on this.
Well, thank you for letting us know that you wiped quickly.
Well, why? Did my hand smell?
Would you please go and wash your hand?
Phil, I will not be embarrassed.
Oh, God!
Man, it's
Mr. Henry, I am washing... How dare you?
You're the one that kids you wipe quickly. So I'm just curious because it's about as it's a goofy looking thing, man. I mean, I don't mean to knock them, and you know, seriously, somebody's got to explain this to me because let me tell you something. I'm all, you know, I get it about the new media, but this is life imitating art. This is like something out of THX 1138.
What?
Why? Because I had a hard time with the title.
No, what is that?
It's a movie. It's a movie you guys don't know. It's an early... It was George Lucas's student film at USC, which he eventually made into a theatrical film.
Really?
Yeah, and I actually saw the student film. They played it one day on Channel 28, which was the public station here in L.A. I was in high school at the time, and I remember the guy on TV was showing student films from USC. That was the presentation. It was a Saturday afternoon. He said, and this is the student film of George Lucas... And this is called THX 1138, and this is the futuristic vision of George Lucas, of Mr. Lucas, and this is, you know, bam, bam, bam. So they showed a black and white, shortened, and there was no dialogue version, and I believe he shot it.
Okay, I know the answer to this. Hold on, I'm just wiping.
Oh, God.
Well, why are you uncomfortable with that, Phil? Hold on. Do you have toilet paper? I told you to keep it stocked.
Would you get her a roll of toilet paper?
Okay, I'll bring it in to you.
Don't you dare.
Mid Gray?
Okay, so anyway, folks.
What do you want?
Got a toilet paper.
All right, just set it down at the door and leave. Set it down at the door and back away.
Will you come on? All right. So anyway, yeah, the guy said George Lucas, and this is his student film. And we're going to be looking at a lot of these student films through the course of this afternoon. And the first one they had was this Lucas film. So I thought it was interesting. And as I watched this movie, I remember thinking it was really interesting. It held my interest, and it was one that was...
Hi, hold on.
Will you shut the door, please?
Wait a minute. Oh, God. Could I get another roll, please?
Oh, all right, now hold on. Wait, don't go. Margaret, what is the problem?
The roll that he brought me was soaking wet, all right?
I didn't bring it soaking wet.
But it got wet in here.
Why?
Because the toilet overflowed. I jammed it up. Excuse me for being a human being.
And you mopped up the water with the toilet paper?
Phil, is all of this going out over the air? You are not much of a gentleman.
All right. Would you get her another roll? Anyway, as we wait for Margaret, because she has some anecdote. So what happened was...
Now you were talking about how the movie was, right?
Yeah.
I'm not done yet. I'm not done. I'm sorry.
Will you shut the door, please?
I want to hear what you're saying.
Well, why can't you listen to the intercom?
It's broken.
What is she doing? Is she in there using the toilet with the door open?
I'm not going to go look. She'll accuse me of being a pederast.
That's not what a pederast is, you jackball. Because she's an older lady.
Don't you call me an old lady.
Okay, all right. Anyway, so they showed the movie, and it was THX-1138. Now, what is the theme of THX-1138? It's escaping. It was a typical theme from the late 60s.
I need to, Phil, I'm so sorry. Where's the plunger?
Oh, come on.
Come on. What is wrong with you?
I'm trying to tell a story. I'm waiting for you. The door's open. What is that?
Water.
You're flooding my studio now.
Well, I'm sorry, but I had cheese, all right?
Well, now everybody knows.
I don't care. It's perfectly normal. Phil, I had cheese. I like cheddar cheese, and I was hungry, and I had a block of cheddar cheese at lunch.
Okay, what has that got to do with anything?
Well, three guesses.
Man, that probably like cement, Phil. You want me to get, I can probably go into the garage and get a chisel.
Yeah, a chisel. Margaret, we'll have to just deal with it after the show, okay?
Well, I'm not leaving this in the toilet for Bud to come in and photograph, because you know that he does that. Phil?
Okay!
What a baby.
Don't you, Bud?
Why don't you take pictures of mine?
Oh, God, you guys are freaking children. You know, I swear to God, I don't want any toilet games played around here. You understand?
I'm not doing it. Bud is.
No one's talking about you. Look at, there's water on the floor. This is just vile.
Keep talking about THX-1138.
So, THX...
Hold on. Okay, that's got it. Boy, this little... it's a little girl's sand shovel that came into handy. And just...
God.
You are really a child, you know that?
Margaret, no one likes to hear just this free discussion of one's toilet habits, okay?
Well, I think it's time you grow up. We're all humans. As F. Buckminster Fuller said, we're all travelers on this spaceship Earth. Thank you. Cue it, Bud.
Yes, ma'am.
I can't be...
Don't do that when you don't tell me.
It was going to be a great lockout.
Don't go cue it, Bud, and then he does stuff. I do what I do, okay? I run things.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, Mr. Gleason.
THX 1... To make a... I don't even know why I'm talking about the movie, but it was... It was a futuristic film that George Lucas made. I'm talking about the film, you know.
No, I know, but I thought you were talking about the one with Robert Duvall.
Robert Duvall was in the theatrical release, and the theatrically released THX-1138 had dialogue, color.
The one he got for his school is black and white?
Yes.
Black and white, I don't like black and white.
Yeah, me neither, man. Why'd they have black and white?
Because there was a time when black and white was the better quality photograph. It was a better quality of photography. That black and white was far more utilitarian, I guess is the word. Oh, I have to break. Okay, great.
Well, that's because you're running your mouth about me flushing a toilet, which, by the way, I got to run back in there.
All right, we'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
I'm sorry, I didn't finish.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Okay, now I'm done.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. What is this?
Anniversary this issue with a story on America.
Oh, we've been checking out old air checks. This is something only radio geeks do. But we were talking about the R&B stations.
Oh, God, the wonderful R&B, rhythm and blues, Magnificent Montague.
Yes, the Magnificent Montague. So you remember hearing him.
I did. I had just gotten to Los Angeles, and KGFJ...
KGFJ was the R&B station. Chicago had WVON. I'm trying to think of the stations around the country. But here in L.A., we had KGFJ. New York was it BAI? No, that's BAI is the Pacifica station. But nonetheless, so here's the thing. KGFJ had this legendary lineup of disc jockeys. They had this guy, the Magnificent Montague. And that guy was from Philly originally, and he came out to L.A., and then there was another cat named Hunter Hancock.
Hunter, I remember him.
And they played R&B. And I remember as a kid, I would go down to the record store, because that's where you went. Nowadays, I mean, you sit at your computer and you download. But before that, we got on our bikes, and we rode down to the record store, because they sold all the records. And they not only sold records, there was a place called the Arcadia Music Mart. That's where you went.
But that in Arcadia?
Yeah, I think so, bud.
Yeah, what do you think, man? It's called Arcadia Music Mart. What do you think it is? Monrovia?
Well, no, but I mean, that's where Phil grew up.
Yes, he grew up there.
That's, yeah, my hometown. So in any event, all right, so...
You should tell people it's Arcadia, California, not Arcadia, Florida.
Well, people know it's California.
Yes, but you don't want anyone thinking Arcadia, Florida because...
Because why?
Man, that's no good.
Yeah, it's... Talk about boiled peanuts.
Yeah, it's a little hillbilly.
All right. Nonetheless.
Arcadia, California, folks.
Thank you, Margaret. So, nonetheless, I would go down to the... that's pretty insulting, you know, to people who live in the Arcadia, Florida. Anyway, so I go down to the Music Mart, and you go in, and there were all the records, and there was also what we had in those days called the Mutual Ticket Agency, and that's where you bought tickets for things. So if you wanted to go to a concert, you bought your tickets there. If you wanted to go to a ball game... And here's how it worked. Because you were asking about this, bud, right?
Yeah.
You walked up to the lady. Now, of course, you're buying it online. And back in the day, before we had the online access, we would go to the Mutual Ticket window, and they had computerized access themselves. But way back when, man, there's a lady there, and she's got on that old-style Lily Tomlin headset, you know?
Yes, the old telephone operator.
Right. And you'd say, I'd like 2 tickets to the Dodger game tonight. And she'd get on the phone, and she'd call Dodger Stadium, and she'd say, we want 2 tickets, and she goes, and where? And she'd slide the chart in front of me, and she'd say, well, here's where the seats are. I said, well, I'd like something behind home plate, and she'd show you. And back then, you had a pretty good chance of getting a seat behind home plate, depending upon the day. So she'd show you where the seats were, and she'd say, we have this, this, this. I said, what are those? She says, well, there's this, and there's access here. And, yeah, they still have them. She's talking to the stadium because the stadium is telling her what's available, what's been sold all throughout the city, you know?
Yeah, because there's other people who are buying them.
Yeah, there's people all over the city buying Dodger tickets. So and she'd say, okay, we have these. I'd say, okay, I'll take those 2. Okay. And she'd get back on the thing and she'd say, we've just sold those 2 for, you know, and boom, the Dodgers would, or whoever would, and that's how they did it, you know?
Well, that sounds almost better than the way that they do it now.
Well, I mean, I don't know. There were people. I can't say that people are communicating less because we're communicating more. You know, we have all kinds of ways of communicating. We just don't use people for a lot of the things we used to use, you know.
Huh?
Never mind. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and Phil Hendry. And remember to get online and join us online at philhendryshow.com. With a backstage pass, you can access literally thousands and thousands of hours of great radio. It's there for you at philhendryshow.com. Don't forget, we'll have information about our one-man show. So many great things. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/philhendryfans. And until tonight, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.